If you have any type of devotion to the souls in purgatory, you've probably heard of the St. Gertrude Prayer, the great prayer that promises to release 1,000 souls from purgatory every single time that you pray it. Is this true? That's what we're investigating in today's video, and what I found I think may surprise you a little bit, and it'll definitely edify you. You want to hear this. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, I remember the first time that I saw that prayer. I was at a Catholic church that I absolutely loved. I was talking to one of the secretaries there, and she had a little card on her desk that said St. Gertrude Prayer, and then I read it. And at the bottom, it had the promise, releases 1,000 souls each time you pray it. Now, if you pray for the souls in purgatory, you understand the reality that it's difficult for them to get out. You have to pray a lot, offering masses, sacrifices, penances, etc. So when you run across this type of promise, it sounds a little too good to be true, but you can't help, you just pray it. So ever since then, I prayed it, and now even more. Then later on, I learned that there's a St. Gertrude chaplet, which can then therefore release 50,000 souls from purgatory, which is a lot. And there's even whole devotions, the 1 billion souls devotion, for instance, that I'm participating in and that you should check out. But then when you go and research where this prayer comes from, did Jesus actually reveal it to her? Can we find it anywhere? First of all, what you find that's a little bit startling, so there's two main sources that I used, the book The Life and Revelations of St. Gertrude the Great, and then another that's an important one that's called The Prayers of St. Gertrude and St. Mechtild. So she had a few disciples, that was one of them, and that compiles all of the prayers that we know of that are traditionally known from St. Gertrude. When you look at both of these sources, nowhere do you find the actual prayer. However, when you look through, I'm going to go through kind of 10 different sections. Some of these are visions that are just amazing. Some of these are revelations of her incredible holiness. You see pieces of the prayer and the idea almost like it's being formulated. And then, so what you can conclude is that this prayer that we've been given, somehow it's like the conclusion of all of her holiness. Somehow she must have compiled it in some way. But listen to some of these revelations. As the hour at which the saint, St. Gertrude, was to communicate was now near, she prayed God to show mercy to as many sinners as would be saved, for she dared not pray for the reprobate, as he had that day delivered souls from purgatory by the merit of the prayers which had been offered. But our Lord reproved her timidity, saying, "Is it not the offering of my spotless body and my precious blood sufficient merit to recall even those who walk in the ways of perdition to a better life?" Then St. Gertrude, reflecting on the infinite goodness testified by these words, exclaimed, "Since thine ineffable charity will condescend to my unworthy prayers, I beseech thee, uniting my petitions to the love and desire of all creatures, that it may please thee to deliver as many persons who live in sin and are in peril, thereby as thou hast delivered souls from purgatory, without preferring those who are my friends, either by consanguinity or proximity. Our Lord accepted this petition graciously and certifies its acceptance to her." In other words, in this whole encounter, we see that she very much was someone who was always wanting to pray for the conversion of as many souls or the release of as many souls in purgatory as possible. So she had this idea of releasing multitudes. Let's continue. "One day after communion, the saint offered the host which she had just received for the souls in purgatory. And perceiving the great benefit they obtained thereby, she was amazed and said to her spouse, 'My God, since I am obliged to declare for thy glory that thou dost honor me continually with thy presence, or rather that thou abidest in my soul and worthy as I am, how is it that thou dost not work through me as thou hast done today after I have received thy adorable body?' He replied, 'It is not easy for everyone to approach a king who remains always in his palace. But when his love for his queen induces him to go forth, then all may behold, through her kindness, his pomp and magnificence. Thus, when moved by my love, I visit one of the faithful who is free from mortal sin in the sacrament of the altar. All who are in heaven, on earth, or in purgatory receive immensely benefits thereby. In other words, telling her that when we receive the Eucharist worthily, incredible benefits, even in heaven and on earth and in purgatory, are seen. So she's building this idea of using the Eucharist, to put it that way, for the benefit of the souls in purgatory. Then later on it says, on another occasion, the saint humbled herself deeply before approaching the Holy Communion in honor and in imitation of the humility of the Son of God in descending into limbo. Then uniting herself with his descent, she found it herself descending to the very depths of purgatory. And humbling herself still lower, she heard our Lord say to her, I will draw you to me and the sacrament of the altar in such a manner that you will draw after you all those who shall perceive the odor of your desire. Having received the promise from our Lord, she desired after communion that he would release as many souls as she could divide the host into particles in her mouth. But as she tried to effect this, he said to her, in order that you may know that my mercy is above all my works, and that the abyss of my mercy cannot be exhausted, I am ready to grant you, through the merits of this life-giving sacrament, more than you dare to ask me. What is he saying? That he wants to grant her to release even more souls than she thinks to ask at this moment, as if she's thinking, I dare not ask for 1,000, let me just ask for 12. And he's saying, I want to give you even more than that. Let's continue. Later on, he gives her kind of this sort of prayer to say. Then he added, whoever offers me the satisfaction of his corporal necessities, such as eating, drinking, sleeping, etc., and saying in his heart or with his lips, Lord, I take this food, or whatever it may be, in union with the love with which thou didst perform the like action when on earth, for the glory of thy Father, the salvation of men, praying that in union with my divine love it may serve for the salvation of all in heaven, or on earth, or in purgatory. Each time he makes this offering, he presents me with a strong shield to protect me against the insults and outrages of sinners. He's teaching her to unite what she offers with the offerings of Jesus. Perhaps these ideas weren't very well known at that time, so he's teaching her basically how to pray, and this is building to the prayer that we pray. Later on, he encourages her in praying for the souls in purgatory, saying, and you visit me in prison and solace my afflictions with the sweetest consolations when you pray for sinners and for the souls in purgatory. Again, in a different place, he says, on Wednesday at the elevation of the host, she besought our Lord for the souls of the faithful in purgatory, that he would free them from their pains by virtue of his admirable ascension. And she beheld our Lord descending into purgatory with a golden rod in his hand, which had as many hooks as there had been prayers for their souls. By these he appeared to draw them into a place of repose. She understood by this that whenever anyone prays generally from a motive of charity for the souls in purgatory, the greatest part of those who during their lives have exercised themselves in works of charity are released. Our Lord is teaching her just how many souls can be released through some of these prayers. Later on it says, when she had finished, he accepted it from her, the prayer, and granted to all the saints and angels for her sake that by this Pater Noster they should accomplish everything which had ever been accomplished for the salvation of the church and for the souls in purgatory. Then he suggested to her to pray for the church, which she did, for all in general and for each in particular, with the greatest fervor. And the Lord united her prayer to those which he had offered himself when in the flesh to be applied to the universal church. That language sounds familiar, doesn't it? Let's continue. On another occasion, as Saint Gertrude prayed for the same person at Mass, she said at the elevation of the host, Holy Father, I offer this host to thee for this soul on the part of all in heaven, on earth, and in the deep, in purgatory. And she beheld this soul in the air, surrounded by a multitude of persons who held representations of the host in their hands, which they offered up on bended knees. The soul appeared to receive great assistance and inestimable joy from this devotion. Then the soul said, I now experience the truth of what is said in Scripture, that no action, however trifling, will fail to be rewarded. So in other words, this, as she offers the host for the souls in purgatory, they are literally receiving it for their purification. At a different time when she's praying for a particular soul, when Saint Gertrude had prayed for this soul for a long time, Jesus, he appeared to her under a horrible form, as if blackened by fire and contorted with pain. She saw no one near him but his sins, which had not been fully expiated, were his executioners, and each member suffered for the sins to which it had been accessory. Then St. Gertrude, desiring to intercede with her spouse for him, said lovingly, "My Lord, wilt thou not relieve this soul for my sake?" He replied, "Not only would I deliver this soul, but thousands of souls for your love. How do you wish me to show him mercy?" So she had such a powerful intercession for the souls in purgatory before our Lord that he would tell her, "I would release thousands because of your love." Later on, it says, St. Gertrude, having made a donation of all her merits and good works to the souls in purgatory, the demon appeared to her at the moment of her death and mocked her, saying, "How vain thou art, and how cruel thou hast been to thyself. For what greater pride can there be than to wish to pay the debts of others without paying one's own? Now we will see the result. When thou art dead, thou wilt pay for thyself in the fires of purgatory, and I will laugh at thy folly whilst thou weepest for thy pride." Then she beheld her divine spouse approaching her, who consoled her with these words, "In order that you may know how agreeable your charity for the souls of the departed has been to me, I remit to you now all the pains of purgatory which you might have suffered. And as I have promised to return you 100 for 1, I will further increase your celestial glory abundantly, giving you a special recompense for the charity with which you have exercised toward my beloved souls in purgatory by renouncing in their favor your works of satisfaction." Basically, St. Gertrude, as far as we know, would have been one of the earliest saints to have done the heroic act for the souls in purgatory. And our Lord gave her an immense and incredible glory because of her particular devotion to the souls in purgatory. So we see that there is this incredible holiness and this incredible love for the souls in purgatory in St. Gertrude. That's why we have that prayer. That's why the promises are so incredible, because she did unbelievable things. And we see this dialogue that she's having with Jesus, that he's teaching her to offer the Mass, to unite it with all the sufferings of Jesus, to unite it with all the Masses throughout the world, to pray for the universal church, to pray for thousands of souls to be released. We see how this St. Gertrude prayer is being pieced together little by little. Now I want to reveal to you one more prayer from a book that's The Prayers of St. Gertrude, and you will see some of the words of this prayer in different places. Listen to this. Now this is a longer prayer, and it's a prayer that's prayed at the elevation of the Eucharist. The prayer, it just says, "Prayer after the elevation of great efficacy." It's a little bit long, but listen to it. "Thy only begotten Son, here truly present upon the altar, has deigned to become a sacrifice and propitiation for our sins. I offer thee his most holy body and blood, his humanity and his divinity, his virtues and his perfections, his passion and death, in union with that love with which he once offered himself to thee upon the cross, and now offers himself to thee on the altar. And in union with these, I offer thee the virtues, merits, and graces of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and all the saints, together with all the good works of all men, and all the whole treasure of thy whole holy church. And I desire especially to add to these whatever good I and those who are dear to me have ever done, and whatever afflictions we have suffered for thy glory. And in union with this sacrifice, and with all those which are offered to thee all over the world, I offer thee this oblation, O Eternal Father, through thy beloved Son, in the power of the Holy Ghost, to thy supreme praise and glory, and in acknowledgement of thy supreme majesty and dominion, and in thanksgiving for all the benefits and graces thou hast ever bestowed on any creature, and in full reparation of every injury or insult ever offered to thee by any whom thy hands have made. I offer it to thee for the increase of the glory and joy of the sacred humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, in worship and veneration of all the mysteries of his life and death, for the increase of the glory and blessedness of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and of all the saints, especially my holy patrons, and those whose memory we this day celebrate. Lastly, I offer it to thee on behalf of myself, a most miserable sinner, and for all my friends, whether in the order of nature or of grace, and for all Christians living and departed, especially, and you name them, beseeching thee that thou wouldst deign to accept it as adequate and sufficient thanksgiving for all the benefits and graces which thou hast ever bestowed on our bodies and souls, to impart to us all the grace needful for us to turn away from us all evil of body and of soul, which might hinder our salvation, and to grant us perfect and entire remission of all our sins and negligences. For all these ends, I offer thee all the love with which Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, has ever loved thee, and all the satisfaction he has made to thee for our sins. Through him and with him and in him be all honor and glory unto thee, O God, Father Almighty, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, forever and ever. Amen. Clearly a much longer version of the St. Gertrude prayer, but you hear in there and in the different visions that I showed you all the pieces that we have put together, or that someone put together, or that she put together. We don't know. We don't know exactly where it came from. This prayer that we call the St. Gertrude prayer. So we can, from all this evidence, say that it is indeed a St. Gertrude prayer, right in her spirituality, from all the merits that she gained, from the incredible holiness that she had in life, and that we can trust that indeed a multitude of souls are released each time that we pray it. Amazing. I highly encourage you to pray that prayer, to have a devotion to St. Gertrude, to think of her as you pray that prayer, because her prayers for the souls in purgatory are unbelievably powerful. I also encourage you to pray the St. Gertrude Chaplet, because it is a powerful way to release many souls in purgatory. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please like and subscribe and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.